the Lord. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland, and I have my wife, Pastor Kathy, with me, and we're going to discuss some more on the family that we've been sharing with you guys. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege of sharing with others what you have established within us. Thank you, Lord God. Only you can keep two individuals together for 35 years. Only you can continue to demonstrate things within us, Lord, that we didn't know we had or possessed, and treasures that you have unfolded through the mystery of marriage. Thank you, Lord God, that we, as we share, there will be an impartation of life. We commit this time into your hands, and we trust, Lord, that you will give us an unction and an utterance. And we thank you in advance for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, we thank God for all of you that are joining us. We want to consider our base scripture verse, Exodus chapter 12. There is something that the Lord is helping us to put in book form, and we're sharing a little bit of that outline with you all regarding what the Lord showed us in Exodus chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Exodus chapter 12, this is just a base verse that we want to pivot off of as we look at something related to marriage today. Exodus chapter 12. I'm not sure which translation you have, Kat, but I have the King James Version.
I have the New King James.
All right, New King James. Mm-hmm. And we want to start. We can start at the first verse to help everybody see the context. Or we can just look at verse 3.
Okay.
Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. I'll read out of the King James first. We always start with good old King James and then look at some other translations for clarity. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 of Exodus chapter 12, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. Here it is, a lamb for an house. A lamb for an house. And it talks about the size of the house and everything else. But the lamb is supposed to be, verse 5, without blemish, a male, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then instructions to kill the lamb, verse 7, and so on, all the way down. What we want to establish in this is the provision that God made for these who were in the world system at that time in Egypt, and they were about to experience the delivering hand of God. God was about to deliver them out of over 400 and some odd years of bondage. And what's interesting to me out of this passage is that the plan that God had for all of them was a plan to redeem the families. So it wasn't an individual thing God was doing. He wasn't saying, okay, all the men to the left, all the women to the right, leave the children in the middle, and God's going to do something. He started this process of redemption through the family. And that's what I really am hoping that people can understand about this. It's not just a perspective that we have about the home. It's actually God's redemptive plan for every home of those that he intends to redeem. So now, if God hasn't redeemed you, if you're not redeemed, then this plan isn't necessarily for you. You're more like those that are in Egypt that just can't avoid the judgment of God. And that's what we're seeing today in our society. The judgment of God has come on the home.
Yes.
Because that's the central focus of everybody's life. So it doesn't even matter. People turn evil, wicked, and head towards the area of darkness primarily because there's no light in the home.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm seeing here. And then there's another passage, but I wanted to give you space to speak into that.
Yeah, and I would say that the lamb that was provided, or the lamb that was to save the household, was given.
Yes.
And so it had to be a choice. If you wanted to be free from your bondage, there was a lamb that was given.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, houses today, households today, you know, do you want to be delivered as a household?
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to be delivered, then of course you're not going to choose to take the lamb.
Yeah.
You're not going to choose to follow the instructions that are given once the lamb has been given to you, and to do the particular things that you need to do to make this lamb prevalent in your household.
Yes.
And I see that in our households today. They don't choose to take the lamb.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be free.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to be free. I mean, if I were you as a household, we want to be delivered. We want to be free from bondage, from the hand of the enemy.
Yeah.
And God has provided the lamb. God's provided his son Jesus for that to happen in your life. But you have to want to take it.
Yes, this is true. Just the New Testament context from this is that in our home, Jesus is the lamb.
Absolutely.
And me as the man, I went to take him and bring him into the family for everybody to partake of.
Yes.
So the lamb, and in even in this context in Exodus 12, everyone in the home had to partake.
Yes.
So there couldn't be like Jehovah's Witnesses in the family or Muslims in the family because they wouldn't be able to partake of the lamb.
Yes, correct.
So it's important to see that in the New Testament context, we're using this to pivot off of the fact that as believers in Jesus Christ who have dedicated their lives to Christ and laid their lives down, now we've come to an understanding in the home, and it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Let's look at let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, because it's confirmed as it relates to marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32. You know, we read the Ephesians 5 passage, and we immediately start making application. You know, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands, so on and so forth. But notice what Jesus says in Ephesians 5 and verse 32 and verse 33.
Verse 32 in the New King James Version says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wives as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband."
Yes. So notice verse 32 says, "This is a great mystery." So from verse 17 or verse 21, really, when he starts saying, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God," and then "wives for the husband," therefore, verse 24, "As the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives, husbands, love your wives." Again, he's going through the roles and the responsibilities of each in the home, which we'll come back to, "that he might sanctify it and cleanse it, present it to himself a glorious church. But as you come down, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." Now, I will just stop here long enough to say that at the end of this, we see what God is after, the goal. The goal for every person coming into matrimony, even with the Lord Jesus Christ. It looks for to me in this passage that the goal is oneness.
Yes.
The two shall be one flesh.
Yes.
So there's a joining that we have to discuss if those two individuals have become one. Because in the mind of God and in the eyes of God, when a husband and a wife come together in the holy estate of marriage, they've said together that they want to become one flesh.
Yes.
God is going to begin to view them as one. So the wife is a part of the husband, and the husband is part of the wife.
Yes.
The wife is the female part of the man.
Yes.
And the man is the male part of the woman. Mm-hmm. But to God, they're one.
Yes.
And so this oneness, Kat, what I'm seeing here is the mystery. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. So what we see here is that marriage is a mystery. The whole estate of marriage is a mystery. And I want to say that if the Holy Spirit doesn't unfold principles and truths, whether out of this text or another text, even in the Exodus 12 text, we won't understand what God intended for the marriage. If it's a mystery, then how are we going to know what the hidden treasures are? If, you know, how are we going to know the stuff that's hidden? You know, if he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. So everything he said in Ephesians 5 from verse 21 down, even what he unfolded, he says, is a mystery. This is what was revealed to Paul by the Spirit of God. So marriage is a mystery. And how many enter into this mystery knowing absolutely nothing about it, hoping that they find out things, you know, as they go? You know, we just grow as we go. But it doesn't work like that. There's things that God wants people to know. Now, Kat, in the same context, this is what I was thinking about today for us. Roll over to chapter 3 real quick. Same book of Ephesians. Chapter 3. And this is where I feel, you know, really compelled to share out of this context today. Because we've come into an understanding through discipleship, biblical discipleship. And you know as well as I do, it has changed our life. It has changed our marriage. It has changed our home. It has changed our children. It has changed every aspect of our life. And I feel like now, because the Lord has done that, and he didn't just do it last week and last year, you know, there's been a season where the Lord has engaged us into this over time.
Yes.
And I feel like now God has revealed some things concerning the mystery that we're now stewards of. And I was reminded of this verse in chapter 3. So I wanted you to read from the third chapter of the same book of Ephesians. I wanted you to read verse, starting at verse 6 down to verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 to verse 10.
That the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I become a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ.
And here it is, verse 9.
And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places.
Go ahead and just finish reading.
According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So what we see here that the Apostle Paul is sharing, he's sharing out of the mystery. And he sees this as a stewardship. He says, I'm a steward over this mystery, that God has revealed something to me that I must properly steward to the rest of the body.
Yes.
And this is an erroneous thing that has happened throughout the body of Christ. We haven't properly stewarded the mysteries.
Yes.
the mystery of salvation.
Yes, yes.
Now anybody can be saved. Everybody's a Christian. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about blessing.
Mm-hmm.
No, we haven't properly stewarded the mystery of being born again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you can be whatever you want in the world.
Yeah.
But you must be born from above. Jesus was telling that to Nicodemus, mm-hmm. who didn't understand the concept, and yet he was a pastor.
And because we haven't properly stewarded it, you have so many people that are confused.
Yes.
You have so many people who go to church on a Sunday, but they're still not fulfilled.
Yes.
They still don't have the joy of the Lord. They still don't aren't living the Christ life to its fullest.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
and I think it's because it's a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
I mean, look at just in sync with that. I mean, I think that's an excellent point to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Colossians chapter 1. You know, our famous Colossians verse that we love. You know, we know 1:27 is the verse, but look at like starting at verse 24 what Paul is saying there, because he's sharing the same issue of his heart with these churches that Lord has helped him to establish, and now he's following up with them in terms of their spiritual development.
Mm.
So notice here, he says in verse 25, I have become its servant, or this is the NIV. Let me read this in the New King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. He says, I'm going through stuff, but it doesn't matter because it's for the church. It's for the sake of his body.
Amen.
Of whom I became a minister.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. This is connected to what we're reading in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given me for you.
Mm-hmm.
See, this silences those that just went preaching and weren't sent. If you weren't sent, it meant that God didn't release a stewardship to you. So there's no reason for you to continue preaching the gospel. That's why some people quit preaching. The stewardship wasn't there. Paul said that I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given. So I couldn't earn it.
To me, yes.
The stewardship was what? It was given. It was given.
Mm-hmm.
So now look at what it is. He says that what was given to him is for the purpose of fulfillment, to fulfill the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the mystery. So what's coming out of the word of God and stewardship as a responsibility is a mystery. Here it is. The mystery, this mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. What in the world has God hidden from ages and generations that they couldn't partake of? What is that? I need to hear what that is. But now has been revealed to his saints.
Yes.
Not to the religious, not to those who just go to church. They don't get this revelation. That's why people are in darkness and they go to God's house every Sunday.
Mm.
Or they don't go to God's house no more because there ain't no light there. Mm. At the end of the day, here's the issue. The issue is this. He says, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, notice, among the Gentiles.
Yes.
Okay, so that's who it's for,
yeah.
Among the Gentiles. But what is the mystery? Here it is, verse 27. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery.
So how many people don't know that the current mystery that has God's attention is Christ in you?
Yeah.
See, we think it's when I go to church. No, it's Christ in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's possible to attend church and you've never come to Christ. How many religious people, you said, there's no satisfaction. They get tired of going because it's the same old rigmarole, and what they're learning is, that's the life that Jesus had intended for me? No, thank you. They see bad examples. They run into somebody, a greeter. that's mean and hateful and going through stuff in their marriage, and then they get discouraged from the parking lot and never get in to receive the fellowship, God's presence, not to mention the word of the Lord that's going forth. So I think that what really provoked my heart today is this understanding that we have now concerning the new creation. The new creation marriage. And knowing that it's a mystery to the religious world. Yeah. They don't know about it.
Yeah.
They act like they do. The the language of love and all this other kind of stuff, these fake principles that don't work. They have no ability to control or stop the flesh.
Right.
They can't oppose the Adamic nature that everyone is born with. So a lot of times we get fluff that doesn't work, but nobody comes back and says, hey, you know, I tried this love language stuff and it doesn't work. You know, it's not helping reveal who lives within me, Christ's life. It's showing, you know, this whole thing that men are from Mars and women are from Venus and all these crazy principles that the world system is belching up, but it doesn't help the new creation marriage. It doesn't. None of that stuff helps the new creation marriage. So in closing, honey, I feel like we have to properly steward this mystery.
Absolutely.
That God has revealed something to us.
Yeah.
And we have to properly steward it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that we should be on everything saying, hey, y'all need to, you know. But I think if the Lord helps us, if the Lord shows us mercy, He'll gather those who are seriously interested in more of the mystery and connect them. So I don't think this is something that everybody that's married is going to get, you know, because now you got all kind of marriages. You got domestic partners, you got gay marriage, you got same-sex marriage and all that.
Yeah.
And we know what we're discussing is what the Lord had for his children.
Yeah.
This is not for the world system, and this is not for unbelievers.
Yes.
So as a matter of fact, I dare say that marriage is not for unbelievers. It's not. It's not. It was never intended for unbelievers. So now you got everybody getting married. They just want the man of God to come and do his thing and then leave so we can get the party on. But after a year and a half, when y'all is having issues, then you need us again, right? But because you weren't ever supposed to come together.
My God.
Because that wasn't a part of the mystery.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You've turned something that God intended to be to bring oneness. And now it's not, you don't understand the mystery. You're not a steward of the mystery. So I really want us to pray about this. I want us to take some time and pray for maybe those couples that are viewing or those who are interested, because I sense that as we continue on the subject of the family, you know, and yeah, we'll break down roles, responsibilities, and all that as the Lord is moving us. But today I really felt like we're stewarding something that the Lord has taken us through a lot, that our marriage isn't perfect, even though over the years he's been able to perfect it.
Yes.
You know, we had issues like everybody else. We didn't understand child upbringing and rearing and all this. We didn't understand a lot. The Lord just showed us mercy.
He did.
That's how we got through it. We didn't have, you know, if I was thinking today, Kat, if we had the principles that we understand now when we were going through this, it would have been so much simpler.
Yes.
Not easier per se. It would have been easier. But we would have had an understanding about things.
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't have been confused about who I am as a husband or what you need to be doing as a wife.
Right.
You need to handle your business. You know, you're living out the help that you are to me because you came out of me according to the Genesis principle.
Yes.
And I had to be asleep in order to receive you.
Yes.
But ultimately, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So that's the oneness that God was bringing.
Yes.
Unfortunately, in our society today,
yes,
all of those things are a mystery.
Yes.
And you either got to go to a marriage retreat or to a seminar or something, because you're not just going to automatically understand the principles of marriage.
Right.
Even if you attend church, not all churches appeal to the married couples or Not every pastor can impart to the married couples, especially if he's been married four and five times. Yeah, how are you going to impart to them, you know? So it's difficult for the body of Christ to get the marriage mystery properly conveyed, yeah, because I believe God has ordained those to properly steward it, mm-hmm, and to share it in its proper context. I believe, Kat, if we do that,
yes,
that what we share will be life to others as it was life to us.
Yeah, sure it will.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then in that Ephesians passage, Kat, he's, if you go back to it, he said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Mm. And what I'm seeing in that is that when God puts the new creation marriage on display, it's going to speak to the principalities, yes, and powers.
Yes.
Somebody misinterpreted, these are angels. No, these are not angels. These are the demonic forces that oppose those that God brings together. What, yes, two God hath joined together, yes, let not man put asunder. Yes. But there is a heavenly host of darkness that's attacking that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mystery.
Oh, yes.
God hid it through the ages, mm-hmm, but now is revealing it to the saints. And that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes. That's the new creation.
It is.
So there are people today, Kat, that are in church that know nothing about the new creation.
Sure.
They don't know about that life.
Yeah.
And they haven't had audio visuals to actually see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a great responsibility ahead of us. Yes, and I just feel like if the Lord helps us in this stewardship, that if we properly steward the mystery that the Lord has revealed to us, there'll be other couples that are open.
Yes.
Couples that are looking for something but don't quite know what they're looking for,
yeah, yeah,
until the Lord opens the mystery up to them,
yeah,
and draws them in.
Mm.
And that's what I believe we need to pray about today, because there are many that just need to be brought in. They're struggling,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're, yeah, fussing, they're arguing with, yeah, each other, mm-hmm, they're hoping things work out. Then the wife gets pregnant,
mm-hmm,
and they haven't worked things out. Now another life is coming.
Yeah.
They're trying to work things out amongst themselves. Now this new life, yeah, is taking the attention away from, you know, there's so many dynamics that we've,
yeah,
seen,
yeah,
and unfortunately there are many that started that didn't complete,
yes,
the journey. So
yes,
I want us to pray. I don't know if you have any more input that you want to make,
no,
regarding this,
no,
but as stewards of the mystery that's been revealed to us regarding, mm-hmm, the new creation,
yeah,
we want to submit that to the Lord.
Amen.
We want to submit that to the Lord. We don't want to do anything on our own to try to push us out there,
yeah,
because that may not be the will of God. What we want to do is submit this to the Lord.
Yes.
And if the Lord helps us and shows us mercy, he can use what we're sharing,
yes,
to impart life to others.
Amen.
It may not be a multitude. It may just be a few.
That's right.
But what we know is that those few, their marriages will be strong.
Yes.
They'll have an understanding as to what God intended by bringing them together. And we ain't just lovey-dovey until the lovey-dovey wears off.
Right.
Now we need a conference. No, we can understand the mystery of this,
yes,
stewardship and see the life that God has intended for us.
Absolutely.
Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you to pray over this first, and then I'll close us out with the word of prayer. Thank you.
Lord, we just thank you and we bless you for an opportunity, Father, to be those stewards, to unveil the mystery. Lord, the mystery will speak for itself, but as we are displaying that mystery through our lives, Lord God, we thank you that you would touch hearts, that you would touch husbands, that you would touch wives, oh God. Lord, that their lives will never be the same. Thank you, Father God, that the mystery is so powerful,
yes,
it's so dynamic in a life. Who wouldn't want it?
Yes.
And I thank you, Father God, that we will understand our responsibility to be stewards,
yes,
and that we would pay attention and make sure that the Christ that's within us would live big, would understand what it is his life is in our lives to do.
Thank
you, God, and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Father, we just want to commit this into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
We know that you started us on this podcast. You started us on this journey.
Yes.
And Lord, we're open to whatever you want said on this podcast. As we've begun to share on the concepts, we're just dealing with concepts, Lord, concerning marriage as a mystery.
Yes.
Father, will you direct our steps? We're trusting you to guide us.
Yes, Father.
As to what you have done in our marriage that was a mystery to us.
Mm.
And Lord, now we've become stewards over the mystery.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, please, we don't want to be reckless, abandoned with truth.
Yes, Lord.
We want you to properly steward us in this mystery. As you have blessed us, Lord, draw those that you know need these principles and these truths.
Yes.
Some people are just doing their own thing and they're not open and listening to anybody. Lord, this mystery is not for them. Marriage will continue to be a mystery to them. They'll always be trying to figure it out. But what you said to your disciples in Mark chapter 4, that has been given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That kingdom mysteries, Lord, are for disciples.
Lord God.
And Lord, we're in discipleship.
Thank you, Father.
We have disciples over us. We've submitted our lives, Lord God, to their guidance and leadership. Thank you, Lord. That, too, was a mystery to us. But we stepped out in faith.
Thank you, Father.
We said no to religion and yes to Christ who lives within us. And you brought about the mysterious change that came as a mystery.
Thank you, Jesus.
But now we understand.
Yes, Lord.
To sit down, Lord, and learn again the gospel. To shut down, Lord God, to watch what you scattered, and now you've begun to rebuild. And now, even lately, you've said how you want to commit yourself unto us.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you for this new thing that you're doing.
Yes, Lord.
We won't try to make something else of it. We wait for your guidance and trust that you will lead us accordingly. Thank you, precious
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We commit this into your capable hands, along with the viewers and those that you have surrounded us that are hungry for the truth.
Thank you,
precious Lord. I pray that those who are hungry, those that are seeking, those, Lord God, that are trusting you for something fresh will be recipients of what you've done in us.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, precious
Lord.
We give you praise, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us today. That's all the time we have on this episode of This Present Truth. But we'll be back next week by God's grace. And until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless.
God bless.